to the book of Genesis or Exodus. Exodus chapter 34, and I'm going to make the switch here in a second, Brother Mark. Exodus chapter 34, and we are going to look down in verse number 14 as we look this evening at the jealousy of God. There are handouts on the back table back there. If you got a handout or didn't get one, there are some there for an outline that you can follow along with this evening's service. As we study the attribute of God's jealousy. Just to be honest with you, there's not all the books that have on the attributes of God count jealousy as an attribute of God. And so it's not something that's written much about, but it is something that I believe is an important attribute for us to understand. And we want to look at it here this evening, and I think hopefully that it will be a blessing to you as well. Exodus chapter 34, verse number 14, as we look into God's Word, the Word of God states right there, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord," that is Yahweh, Jehovah, "whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." So His name is Jealous. One of the names of Yahweh God is Jealous, and He is a jealous God. Now you might be thinking this evening, and this is point number one, jealousy, vice or virtue? Jealousy, vice or virtue? Or virtue. I thought jealousy was a vice. I thought jealousy was a sin, you might be thinking this evening. And you're right, it is a sin. And we might look at that this evening. Number one, underneath Roman number one, the vice of jealousy. The vice or the sin, the vice of jealousy. The Greek word in the New Testament for jealousy is a word which is zelos, and it means literally a particularly strong feeling of resentment and jealousy against someone. So it's a particularly strong feeling or resentment and jealousy against someone. It seems to come from the root thought of being warm or heat, warmth or heat. And we will see that. Have you ever seen someone who gets jealous, and it has a little bit we're going to see to do with even with anger is mixed in with jealousy, but that warmth, the heat, the passion that comes with it, all right, that's what we're thinking of here in the sin. Now, we are jealous of our own, we are envious of another man's possessions. So jealousy, if we want to try to divide, because that word that we looked at in the Greek there in the New Testament, zealous, it's going to be a word, and you just listen to it, zealous, jealous, zealous, right? You get the thought. But also, he is zealous for the work of the Lord in English language. Do you hear the similarities there? So we have jealous. Sometimes the word is translated jealous. Sometimes the word is translated zealous. But sometimes the word is also translated envy. Envy. Now, we're going to try to distinguish here a little bit between envy and jealous, all right? Because there, now again, New Testament, going through it, sometimes it's envy, sometimes it's jealous, sometimes it's zealous, but it's the same Greek word. But in our thinking a little bit here, try to distinguish, because I think there's an important distinction that should be made between someone who is jealous or someone who is envious. When we're jealous, it's usually something, we're jealous over something that we have, all right? That I think I left that quote, "Jealousy fears to lose what it has." We are jealous about something we possess. Envy has to do, is pained at seeing another have. We envy when we see somebody else gaining something, when we see them gain a position, when we see them gaining in stature. When Korah and Dathan, when they looked out at Moses, what does the Bible tell us about their thought concerning Moses? They envied Moses. What did they envy? The position that God had given them. Him. All right, who was Korah? Well, Korah had an important part in the tabernacle. He was also part of the structure of the Levites. I mean, he had a position. His work, I believe, if I remember right, was putting up and putting down the tabernacle. That's what the Korahites, the family there, was responsible for doing. But he wasn't satisfied with what God had given him to do, and he envied the position that Moses had. What was he envying? Something he did not have. He envied that position. So jealousy, again, it fears to lose what it has, while envy is pained at seeing another have.
Now, the sin of envy or jealousy, we see this sin in the Scriptures. Let's look, for example, here in the book of Acts, in the fifth chapter, Acts chapter 5. And this is going to be repeated many times through, and we're not going to look all these up in the book of Acts, but Acts chapter 5 and in verse number 17. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. That word is that same word for jealousy or for envy. They were filled with indignation. So here they are. They see the laying on of the apostles' hands, right? That God had given power to the apostles. They see the power that God has given them. They envied it. They were jealous of it. They were envious of what God had given unto them. We see it repeated again and again and again in the book of Acts, where religious leaders looked out. They envied the power that the apostles had, that God had. They envied Christ, did they not, the religious leaders, and what he could do. So it was over envy. But also we find, go over there with me to the book of Galatians in the fifth chapter, Galatians chapter 5, where jealousy, envy, this zealous, this word, this word we find in the Greek language, where it is a work, obviously, of our flesh. Go to Galatians chapter 5 and go down with me there to verse number 20. And we see here, where in verse 19, Paul writes, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies." That word emulations, that is that word for jealousy. You go down in verse number 21. Now there is a separate word in the Greek that is translated envying. And here we see it, verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also have told you in time past, that those which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we see the works of the flesh are manifest. What's one of the works of the flesh? Ungodly, unrighteous, if you will, jealousy. When someone is looking at or trying to, in an ungodly way, they're jealous over something that they possess, that they have. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse number 3. Again, we find the church in Corinth, and a church that was split up and was divided. Verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 3, "For you are yet carnal." You're not spiritual Christians. You're fleshly Christians. "For whereas there is among you envying," that is that word again for zealous, that is that Greek word which is also translated jealous, "for among you is envying." There were jealousies and envyings, and there were strife and divisions. "Are you not carnal and walk as men?" So we see again that the thought that there is an unrighteous or there is a sin of jealousy. But I want you also to see this evening that there is a virtue, number two there, the virtue of jealousy, the attribute of jealousy. Now let's think for a moment. Can we think of another emotion that's a God-given emotion that can be sinful or that also can be righteous? Think for about anger. Anger can be sin, but anger also can be not sin. You look at God, do we find where God gets angry? Absolutely. In fact, we're going to look at some passages tonight that speak of the wrath, the anger of God. Obviously, God can't sin, so it can't be sin for God, but we call this righteous indignation. You've heard that term before, right? Somebody loses their cool, they get angry, they get upset, and they say, "Well, it's just righteous indignation." Well, probably it's not. But anger can be used by us. It's a God-given emotion. Remember, when man fell, God had created man in the image of God. And when man fell, that image was distorted, if you will. And that image is recreated again when we are saved in Christ Jesus. Remember the teachings in Colossians and Ephesians. That we're recreated anew when we are born again of the Spirit. In other words, we're now enabled to do what God originally had created Adam to do. In that sense where he was created in God, created in the image of God. Well, when man fell, when Adam fell, though he still had some things that God created, what is anger? What is the purpose of anger? I think if we look in Ephesians, we see where he says, be angry and sin not. That anger is the emotion that God gives to us, that energy that God gives, to not point it at the person, that's when it becomes sin. When we point our anger at the person and we destroy the person, it's sin. When we point our anger, that energy, at the problem, to solve the problem, we're using it biblically for the glory of God. Doesn't mean we don't speak the truth in love, but anger, when it happens, boy, it's so easy, is it not? Because of that old Adamic nature, just to let that anger just flow, and usually it flows right out your tongue, does it not? And you use that thing to destroy that person. Well, you're using it sinfully. When we use it the right way, we use it to point at the problem, to solve the problem. All right, but jealousy here can be the same thought. God, we see, we just read here, his name is jealous. He is a jealous God. So jealousy is also a virtue because we see that God has the virtue of jealousy. And we're going to look at that a little bit and what that means. But first, underneath number two there, the virtue of jealousy, I want you to see that there was jealousy and marriage. Jealousy and marriage. We're not going to take the time, but if we were to go back to the book of Numbers in the fifth chapter in verses 11 through 31, we see in that whole section there that there was the offering of jealousy. What was the offering of jealousy? If a man suspected that possibly his wife had had an affair, he could. There was a special offering that he could offer up. It included some dust from the tabernacle floor and some water that they would mix it with, and she was to drink this. And if this her stomach, I believe, began to swell and her thigh began to rot, that means God was showing that, yes, she had been unfaithful, untrue. But if she drank that and did not have that issue, that means no, then God is saying no, she was true. And even speaks there of a spirit of jealousy. So often when we see jealousy, and this is an important truth, it has to deal with the marriage. Now listen, that doesn't work today, okay? There's no tabernacle floor here. Don't come up here and grab some dirt from the church and start mixing up. That's not for today, all right? That was Old Testament. But what I'm sharing is that jealousy of a husband over his wife. Why? Remember, when they come together in marriage, she becomes his, in a sense. I don't want to say his possession, but she becomes his wife, his helpmate. And so there is a certain jealousy over his wife. Well, that can be sinful if it's not in the right way, but there's a natural sense where there's a jealousy in a right way. We read over here and go over there quickly to the book of Proverbs in the sixth chapter. There's a whole section about this, Proverbs chapter 6. And go down there with me in verse number 32, Proverbs 6, verse 32. I think a very important passage. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. All right? Committeth adultery, what are you doing? You're destroying yourself. Verse 33, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You commit adultery, men. There's a reproach there that in this life cannot be wiped away. Now, God can cleanse you. God can forgive all your sin in eternity to come. The blood of Christ has washed that away. But in this life, you're a born-again believer. You commit adultery. There's a reproach that's there. Now, go on down with me. Verse 34. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. What's this talking about? You committed adultery with some man's wife. Jealousy, this is the man now, this is the husband of the woman that you committed adultery with. Jealousy is the rage of a man. He's going to be jealous. He will not spare in the day of vengeance. In other words, he's not going to seek mercy. He will not, verse 35, regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. In other words, no matter what you give, no matter what you do, he's not going to rest until vengeance has been paid. It's speaking there about a man's jealousy over his wife. Now, that's important because we see in many Old Testament passages the thought of God being married to Israel, and in New Testament passages where Christ to be married to the church, and how God is jealous over Israel, and how Christ jealous over his church. We're going to look at that in just a little bit. But we see jealousy in marriage. Number two, jealousy and God. Jealousy and God. We already spoke a little bit about this, but we're speaking now about a godly, if you will, or a righteous jealousy, a jealousy that is pure, a jealousy that is normal, a jealousy that is good. I want to look at some characteristics of God's jealousy, and then we're going to look at what God is jealous of. But go back to the Old Testament with me and to one of those little minor prophet guys, Nahum. All right, Nahum. Now, boy, you're saying, Pastor, you're really making us do some work tonight, following Nahum, right? Well, get in there, work hard, find that fella. He's just three chapters he wrote in the Bible, all right? Nahum, what are you going to do when you meet him someday? He's going to say, well, did you read my book? You say, well, who are you? Nahum. Well, what book did you write? Well, I got a book in the Bible named after me, right? You better know a little bit about Nahum because you're going to have eternity to spend with him. You don't want him to be embarrassed there. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Boy, do we see here the thought of God's jealousy. It is revenging. It is furious. You're going to see this, the anger, the wrath of God in jealousy. And specifically here, jealousy to those who rejected God. Boy, in the book of Ezekiel, there are many passages that speak about God's jealousy. What's important about the book of Ezekiel? What does a great part of the book of Ezekiel speak about? Speaks about the coming kingdom. What comes before the kingdom? The great day of the Lord, when God's wrath is going to be poured out. What's that speaking of? His jealousy. Why? It's his creation, right? God created the heavens and the earth. God created every man and every woman. You belong to your Creator by creation. Now, you don't belong to him in redemption, and he's not your father until you repent and trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, but he is yours, or you are his, by creation. I was speaking with a young man this evening and another man this evening, and I was talking to them. This one young man told me, well, I don't think about those things. I said, well, look, let me ask you a question. Where did you come from? Where did man come from? If you've never thought about these things, think about it a moment. Where did you come from? Do you think there's a creator? We began to talk about that. How could there be evolution? I mean, how did some rock that split, that exploded when the Big Bang Theory took place and these rocks were spinning around, how did something living come from something that's not living? How did something that's inanimate and dead, how did it produce a living cell, a living organism? It's impossible. There's a big leap of faith to go from something that has no life, a rock that's spinning, to all of a sudden there's a living cell that's on that rock. Where did the cell come from? Because nothing dead, inanimate, can produce something living. It's a step of faith. I said, but let me just give that to you. Let's say that it was just alive, and it did just happen to be a cell that came from nothing. Number two, if there was a cell, this amoeba that began to live, and it evolved over these years and grew legs and sprouted and began to get out and to walk on the ground, how did it reproduce? Was there another cell that at the exact same time that this miracle took place, another one exactly in the same way was created and exactly in the same way over those millions of years, evolved in exactly the same format, exactly the same time, and then perfect when that time came, they were able to reproduce? I mean, man, it's a fairy tale, right? Listen, you are God's by creation. And when you turn your back on God and you refuse God and you refuse God's word, know this, he is a jealous God. His wrath is going to be poured out upon the earth. That's what Nahum here is talking about, all right? Let's look at another place, Zephaniah. All right, boy, we got to find these little guys in here tonight. And we want to look right here and we want to see in the, let's see, what chapter did I have here? Chapter 1, all right, Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1, And go down with me there to verse number 18. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse number 18. It says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Go to chapter 3, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Notice again at the end of that verse, it says, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdom, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. So we see some words that are being used with God's jealousy. Vengeance, anger, wrath, and what's another word we've seen? Fire. All right? Does that have something to do with the lake of fire, you think, in the end? When they're going to be cast into that lake of fire? Absolutely. It has something to do with the jealousy of God. All right. What is God jealous of? We've kind of already spoken of one as we spoke about his creation. But what is God jealous of? Roman numeral 2. Number 1 underneath Roman number 2. What is God jealous of? God is jealous of his glory. God is jealous of his glory. Go over there with me to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, and I've probably got about 30 or 40 minutes to squeeze into about 10 minutes, so let's hang on there and buckle your seatbelts, all right? Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 8. Isaiah 42 and verse number 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Go with me, stay in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse number 11. 48 and verse number 11. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it, for how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. So the promise of God here is he is not going to give his glory to another. In Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 25, it speaks and it says there that God's name, he is jealous of his holy name. Listen, God is jealous of his name. He is jealous of his glory. He will not share it with another. Why? Because it would be sin for God to share his glory with another. Would you agree with that? How many gods are there? There's one God. He's the God of all glory, the God of all honor, the God of all praise. If God shared his glory with another, it would be sin. Why? Because only God is worthy of glory and honor and praise. Do you remember where the angels, where Paul or Peter bows before the angel to give the angel worship, and what's the angel say? Rise up. Why? Because there's only one worthy of worship. Who's that? God. That's why it's so interesting when Thomas, remember Doubting Thomas, has nothing to do with my last name Thomas, by the way, but Doubting Thomas, they're in the upper room, when they come in, where Thomas comes in, there is Christ. Remember what he said, I'm not going to believe until I see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side. And what does Christ say? Look here, Thomas, put your fingers in there, thrust your fist right in here in my side. And what's Thomas do? He falls before him and says what? My Lord and my God. Yeah, my Lord and my God. When he falls and when he bows and when he gives homage and praise and worship to Christ, does Christ refuse that? Absolutely not. Why? Because he is God. Remember, we looked at it here a couple Sundays ago, John chapter 5, verse 24. They are of equal honor. And when we honor the Father, when we honor the Son, we honor the Father. When we honor the Father, we honor the Son. Why? Because they're God. And so the thought here this evening is this, that in this truth, God is jealous of his glory. He cannot share it with another because he's only worthy of that. So he's jealous. Now, all these other thoughts and points we're going to look at really have to do with God's glory. But let's just look at a second thought very quickly tonight. Number two, underneath Roman number two, God is jealous of his land. He's jealous of his land. Turn over there with me to Zechariah. Zechariah. If Julie and I ever have another son, I think Zechariah would be a neat name. What do you think? Julie's in the nursery. Can you hear me, honey? All right. Zechariah, she's back there screaming right now, no. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14. 3 was enough. Chapter 1, verse 14. So the angel, verse 14, chapter 1, so the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. He is jealous for Jerusalem. He is jealous for Zion. That speaks of that same place. Go one other place there with me in the book of Zechariah, the 8th chapter and the 2nd verse, chapter 8 and verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. So again, we see the thought here. God is not only jealous of his glory, but he is jealous of his land. That's why, listen, Israel, the land of Israel, is not like any other place on the face of the earth. That belongs to God. God counts that as his own. The city of David, Jerusalem, whose city is it ultimately? It's God's. And that's why you have Satan fighting so hard. Listen, that is the center of everything that's happening here upon the earth and will be coming up to the day of the Lord until we enter even to the millennial reign when Christ is going to set up his kingdom. And where is he going to rule and reign from? The city of David, Jerusalem. Why? Because it's his. It belongs to God. God has put his name on it. It's his special place that he has. And that's why Satan fights so hard to mess that thing up. But I'm telling you, it's God's. God is jealous of his land. But number 3, God is jealous of his people. He is jealous of his people. Now, underneath number 3, there's number 1 with a little parenthesis there, his jealousy for his people. His jealousy for his people. And we find that his jealousy for his people is very real. Turn back there with me to the book of Exodus. We're going to look at a couple of places real quickly. Exodus in the 20th chapter. Exodus chapter 20. And go down right here, the beginning of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. And let's go down to verses 4 and 5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So we see the truth. You're not, verse 3, you're not to have any other gods before me. You're not to make any gods with graven images and any likeness that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So this is speaking specifically about idolatry. And when you bow before any other images made with human hands, you are committing idolatry. You're giving homage to something, worship to something other than God. That is idolatry. And God says, I am a jealous God. You're not to do that. He's given the commandment. Now stay there in Exodus and turn over here with me to the 34th chapter, Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 12. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 12. And here we see where it says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, let it be for a snare in the midst of thee, but you shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, we read that earlier, is a jealous God. Here is the warning. You're going into this land. There's a land that I have promised unto you. We've already read, God is jealous for that land. It's called Israel. And they're going into that land. But in that land, when they go to that land, there are these other groups of people. And these other groups are pagans. And they worship pagan gods. And they have pagan systems of worship to these pagan gods. He says, when you go in there, don't start worshiping their gods. Because you're not just anybody. You're my covenant people. We have made a covenant here together. It's called the Mosaic Covenant. And this covenant that we have together, as you go into that land, I am a jealous God. I will not allow you to do this. And did he? Number one, did they? Did they worship other gods? Yeah, they did. They began to practice the practices of the pagans that surrounded them. And as they began to worship those pagans that surrounded them, those pagan practices, God would bring chastening upon them. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But God, my friends, is jealous over His people. In the Old Testament, it was the covenant people of the covenant, of the Mosaic covenant, the people of Israel. In the New Testament, who is it? There's another covenant. What covenant is it? The new covenant. The covenant of His blood. We've been purchased our salvation. We don't belong to ourselves, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. Who do we belong to? God, Jesus Christ. We are His. What's that mean? We got to be careful. Because only He deserves that place of honor and worship in the throne room of our hearts. And the Bible tells us that even covetousness is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Covetousness is as the sin of what? Idolatry. And so when we begin to covet something, whether it be a sports team or a new telephone, the latest model phone, or the latest, Xbox game or PSP game or whatever else is out there, the newest shotgun, all right, whatever it is that we're going after, that we're coveting after, and we dream about it, and we lay in our beds wondering what it would taste like, what it would feel like, I just got to have this thing. It's slipped in there, and an idol is now living in the throne room of your heart. What do you need to remember? God is a jealous God. He's not going to allow that to continue if you belong to Him, all right? We're going to talk about that, but His jealousy for His people. Number two, His jealousy upon His people. This is the part I wanted to get to. Not only His jealousy for His people, He is jealous for them. He purchased them, but He is covenanted with them. But number two, His jealousy upon His people. There's the blessings of His jealousy. And we don't have time to look at it tonight, but we see that the zeal of the Lord shall do this. The jealousy of God, it will perform this. The promise of Hezekiah when the Assyrians were going to come in. And man, what's going to happen? How this huge army of the Assyrians, they're bigger than us, they're larger than us. Remember, Hezekiah goes in, he lays the letter down that the Assyrian king had sent to him. He lays it before God and says, God, you're going to have to deal with this. We don't have any answers. There's no way we can defeat this Assyrian army. In fact, they already took the northern kingdom of Israel. Now they've come down to the southern kingdom of Judah, and God, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're my only answer. God gives him a promise. The zeal, the jealousy, the zeal of God will perform this. There's going to be a remnant that's going to come out. God's going to keep you, preserve you, walk you through. So there's a wonderful truth. We see it in the Zechariah. We see it again with Israel in the end times. Where the zealousy of God, the jealousy of God of His people is going to preserve a people through the tribulation. God is going to do it. He is jealous for His people. He will do it. So there's the blessings of being under God's jealousy. But if you will, there's, letter B, the wrath of being under His jealousy. The wrath of being under God's jealousy. And I guess we're not going to get to the number three, so we're going to have to end here tonight with B. But let's just spend a second on it, okay? Give me a couple of minutes here. The wrath of His jealousy. We read in the Old Testament, over and over again, we can find this truth where it says of the children of Israel that they provoked Him to what? To jealousy. We find also where it says in the King James, they moved Him to jealousy. Now, you might be thinking here tonight, well, look, Pastor, that's Old Testament, right? I mean, there's nothing in the New Testament. This is Old Testament stuff you're talking about this evening. Well, number one, listen, you don't just throw everything out because it's in the Old Testament. I mean, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that is the canon. That is the Bible. But it is also this truth repeated in the New Testament. I'm not saying that there's not a balance here of Old Testament, New Testament, and bringing them together. But for me, the Old Testament, once we have understood the New Testament truths, and we begin to view the Old Testament through the eyes of the New Testament, it makes the Bible 3D. I mean, do you know there's some wonderful truths about Christ that we would never understand if we not had that in the Old Testament? Does Peter not say that there's something that the Old Testament prophets wrote? It wasn't for their benefit, Peter said. It was for our benefit. So there's great passages of the Old Testament that weren't written for the Old Testament saints. They're written for New Testament saints today. And I want to praise God that He preserved His Word and that the Old Testament, man, it gives just bright and brilliant colors to the New Testament. I love the Old Testament. We should be students of the Old and New Testament. Many churches today say, oh, it's Old Testament. We don't study that. We just study the New Testament. Well, you're missing the big picture of God. But let's look into the New Testament for just a moment. Let's go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's just notice what it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verses 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. Verse 21 says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Now we take this passage, and if we were to read this passage in context, we could start right up there in chapter 10 and verse number 1, and you could read down, and what Paul is doing, he's using the Old Testament illustration of Israel and mistakes that they made, but he's drawing it to make a New Testament truth, using them as a type, if you will, of the church. Israel's not the church, but using them kind of as a type of Old Testament saint to give us a picture in the New Testament. And the picture is this, listen, you can't partake of things of this world and worldly nature and be a child of God and not provoke God to wrath. Why? He's a jealous God. You belong to God. You see, there's a lot of fear of God today, reverence of God, that's not in our church and not in our people today. Because we're talking about the grace of God. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the mercy of God. Listen, there are wonderful truths about God. But so is God's justice. So is God's jealousy. And we need to understand this evening, we can't just play in the world and not provoke Him to wrath. He's jealous over you. I'm glad that He is. If He wasn't jealous over me with that godly jealousy, that would mean I'm not His child. If He was not jealous over me, if His love did not, it wasn't a banner that was over me, it would mean that I don't belong to Him. So because He loves me, because I'm His possession, He is jealous over me with a perfect, godly, righteous, pure, holy jealousy. And I provoke Him to that. I provoke the wrath of His jealousy that there's going to come chastening in my life if I what? If I live as the world, if I compromise with the world. You can't drink from both cups. You can't eat at both tables. Are we catching it, Christians? I'm telling you, we have a lot of this kind of Christianity today. It's kind of mixed in with the world. Everything's kind of all jumbled up. There's a lot of compromise going on. God is saying here, there's a clear line if you're God's child. Come out from among them, who's them? The world, and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. You see, guys, we got to understand that when we live in the world, when we live in sin, when we drink of Satan's cup, but yet we pretend that we're drinking from the Lord's cup, we provoke Him to wrath. Go over here one last place, and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be finished, okay? Verses 28 and 29. And really, chapter 12, wonderful chapter, speaking of the chastening hand of God upon His people. Because He loves them, He chastens them. And because He loves you, He is jealous over you. We come down to the end of that chapter, verses 28 and 29, and we read, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a what? Consuming fire. Where did we read that? Back in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He is a consuming fire. Why? Because He's a jealous God. And so while it doesn't use the term jealous here, it's the same thought here that's being used. And what Paul is writing to these believers, the Hebrews, listen, if you are truly have been saved, if the blood of Jesus Christ has truly atoned for your sins, He has saved you and He has eternally saved you. He has saved you to the uttermost, which means He has saved you eternally, forever, perfectly. In Christ you have been saved. Now understanding that you now belong to Him and that you have been saved eternally, understanding now that you've been called to this great cloud of witnesses, to all the saints that have gone before you, that you're called to this great congregation, this great church in heaven, which is going to take place one day, understanding all these promises, now have a fear for Him, have a reverence for Him, that He is a consuming fire, and live for the glory of His praise. Understanding the balance of His love and the balance of His jealousy, live for the glory of His praise. And folks, that's what we need to understand this evening. Our God is a jealous God, and we should be thankful that He is. And it is a virtue, His jealousy. It is a righteous, holy jealousy. And that jealousy is over us. And He's not just going to allow us to fool around, to live any way we want to live. He acts upon that jealousy. And this evening, I just hope that thought in my heart and in your heart would be a thought that would motivate us to a greater walk with Him and a greater appreciation for Him. And what I want to do next time, and we didn't have time to this evening, but I wanted to look at the communicable attribute of His jealousy. All right, God is a jealous God. You've shown us that from Scripture. It very clearly says that His name is jealous. He is a jealous God. Is it ever right for the Christian to be jealous? And we're going to find that there are times when it is right for the Christian to be jealous. And we're going to look at those times and examples in Scripture, and I think they'll be a blessing to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father,